For now, though, we are turning our attention to our monthly Citizens Advice slot. And a warm welcome back, as always, to Kirsty Novak from the Tralee branch. You're welcome, Kirsty.
Hi, Deirdre.
Now, we're going to be talking in a moment, and indeed for most of today's slot, about housing and housing-related issues. But you want to make 2 points before we get into that. And the first one is about the payment scheme for people in mother and baby institutions.
Yeah, so this opened for applications yesterday, the 20th of March. It's kind of sort of payment for mothers and babies who had been in the institutions, and there's an application form to be completed, or you can do it online, and we're one of the nominated agencies to help with this. So if somebody wants to find out more about that, to see if they're eligible or how to go about it or need help with the application, link in with your citizens' information and we'd be delighted to help you.
Okay, that's good to know, because there must be people here in Kerry who are entitled to that. Now, the other thing you want to mention is that Citizens Information in Kerry is currently recruiting volunteers.
Yeah, so
you need some help, do you?
We need some help, is right. Yeah, so we always had volunteers previously, and then during COVID, like obviously our volunteers were like most people were sort of stood down for health reasons, and while we've had a number of volunteers have returned, we need some more. So we've got 3 centres in Kerry, and each of them could do with volunteers, really. If anyone was interested in joining us, please contact our Tralee office for further details. And I suppose the requirements would be that you're like friendly, outgoing. IT skills would be essential, really, because like a lot of our work is all our work involves good IT skills. And then the volunteer roles are ideally for 1 full day a week or 2 half days. So look, we're a fun, friendly bunch, and if you feel you'd like to belong to our team, please make contact to our Tralee office.
Great stuff. Now, we're going to talk a little bit this month about housing grants for the elderly and people with disabilities. We're going to talk about housing supports, about the rent-a-room scheme. And in actual fact, we've picked out some questions that have come in over the last month that are about those particular topics. So will we kick off with a few of those, Kirsty? The first one is about housing grants, and it comes in from Margaret, who says, I'm a homeowner and my windows and front door need replacing badly. Can I get any help with this? And by that, I presume she means financial help.
Right. So again, the County Council, Kerry County Council, have grants for older people or people with a disability. So that person doesn't say if they're either of those. And really, that would be the criteria to get the windows and doors replaced. So
even if we'll say an older person... You own your own home.
Yeah, if it's an older person. Oh, it's not a council house. This is for somebody who owns their own home. So if it's an older person, or maybe that was an older person. If that's an older person, then yes, they can apply to the Kerry County Council for a housing grant. And specifically, they offer grants to replace or repair windows and doors, help with replacing the roof. Now, their grants are means tested. So if you had income into the house of up to 30,000 a year, then you could still be eligible for help with the replacement of the windows and doors. So there is an application form which we have in our office, where we're always happy to discuss council application grants with people. And there's 3 applications in the one form. One of them is for people with a disability, and that might be for if somebody needs to get an extension added onto the house, like a wet room, for example. Then you've got mobility aid grants, where somebody might need a stair lift or a ramp or an accessible shower. And then there's the housing aid for older people, and that would be the windows and the doors, the roof. So there's 3 kind of application forms in one, and we have them in our offices, or they're on the Kerry County Council website as well. But that's specifically for people who own their own home.
Great stuff. So people mightn't even know that they could claim this, which is good.
We see, I think people think sometimes that, that's for council tenants, but you see, they would be dealing with the council. So this is for
Now, we have a Tralee listener who's wondering, is there any help I could get with the cost of rent? I have a family with two kids and both adults are working. I assume we won't qualify for social housing, but we find it difficult to meet the rent, especially as the landlord has recently increased it.
Okay, so again, that seems to be happening like a lot these days. And you know, look, it's housing, I suppose, is a big concern for many people, especially in the private rented sector. So, I mean, that person, they assume they won't qualify for social housing, but they might. You know, the social housing threshold is quite generous. So, for example, for a family there with two children, they could have a net annual income of 38,500. So they could have that much net income. That's your income that you take home after all your deductions have been made. So, I mean, you know, that's a fairly respectable income, and they might qualify for social housing if their income is under that. Now, if their income is over that...
You mean their joint income?
Their joint income, yeah. It'd be the income into the household. So for a single person, it's 35,000, income under 35,000 net. And then they add on 5% for any additional adult, and then I think 2.5% for children. So for that couple, it could be a net income of 38,500 for a family with two kids. But I mean, they haven't said if they're working full time or part time. You know, one of them, they might be working part time. That's one option. If they're over that, you know, they might look at getting, they might qualify for, maybe if they can't get a mortgage, they might qualify for a local authority home loan. You know, so if you've been refused by the main lenders, you could potentially qualify for a mortgage from the local authority. So that could be something there. And then obviously, you know, depending on if both on their income and other situations, you know, there's like the working family payment that they mightn't have looked into so far. So there's a couple of options there for them. Now, if they did get on the council house waiting list, if they did become eligible for social housing, you know, that doesn't, obviously, we all know it's not necessarily going to mean that they're going to get a council house like now, but they could be eligible for other supports like the HAP, housing assistance payment. So people who are on the council house waiting list can get help towards their rent. So that could be something there as well.
Okay.
Look, maybe they should.
There are options.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So maybe pop in again to yourselves and go through those options. Now, Tim was in touch. His mother has a second property which is in need of repair, and he says he heard there's a grant you can get for this. Can you tell me more about it? So this is a second property. Okay.
Yeah. So, like, I suppose under their plan for housing for all, the government have launched this grant called the Vacant Property Refurbishment Grant. I think we spoke about it last year when it came out, and it's to do up a property. Like, now this would be a property that's been not occupied for 2 years, that's maybe like derelict in some ways. You could potentially get 50,000 to do up that property, or 70,000 if it's completely derelict. Now, there is criteria to be met there, and doing up the property, you have to either say you're going to live in it as a primary residence, or you have to be making it available for rent. So it's, you know, it's, they have to show, because I suppose the main aim to this is to offer more accommodation. So that's why the council would be behind this, because they want to make more properties available for rent. So now that's the property has to be vacant for at least 12 months. It's not for private renting. The property needs to be viable of being social housing. No, that's private renting. It needs to be available for private renting.
Okay.
And built before 2008. So I think previously they said it had to be a lot older than that, but then they changed it to 2008. So there are properties around, you know, a lot of second properties. It probably doesn't go towards the full cost of doing up the property, but, you know, it's certainly something for people to consider.
Worth exploring, at least, yeah. Another listener, this is by text, wants to know, is it true that council tenants can rent out a room in their house? And if this is true, how do you go about it? Yeah. Can you do that?
Yeah, so as far as I know, from December, they extended the rent a room scheme to local authority tenants. As far as I know, it's for the purpose of renting to students, but they can get clarification of that from the council. Like, I wouldn't be renting out a room in a social housing house without letting the council know first, you know. So, but you can certainly, you know, you can rent out a room for and get up to 14,000 a year tax free. So, but I think, as far as I know, the social housing rent room is for the purpose of renting to students. But you could, they could certainly check that with the council. So,
Kerry County Council, the ones to say that. Now, we've a 75-year-old lady who got in touch with us, Kirsty. She owns her own house, and her problem is, she says, I'm finding it harder and harder to get up the stairs, but my bedroom and my bathroom are up the stairs. Someone told me I can get a grant to add on an extension. Is that true?
Which, again, that's the same grant that we were talking about earlier. So it's the housing adaptation grants from the council. And there are grants, certainly, to add a wet room, you know, which would be a downstairs a downstairs bathroom, downstairs bedroom, an extension, or, you know, they could look at a stair lift. But yeah, there is the application form. It's the one I was talking about earlier, the 3-in-1 application forms. It is means tested, so it would depend really on, as well, the annual income into the household. But the means test is quite generous with it. So we have the applications in our office.
Yeah. If anyone wants to check that out.
Yeah.
Now, we're getting a few questions as well about SEAI grants, what they are and what do they cover. So I'm sure you get queries about those as well, Kirsty.
Yeah, so we do. And there's a couple of different ones there for the home energy upgrade to make your house more sort of energy wise. So there's one where, I suppose, anybody can apply for it, you know, for the cavity walls, a bit of better insulation. In that one, that would be you just get an amount paid out, you know, a grant towards the cost, and you would obviously have to pay the extra. And then there's the fully funded ones, and that's for people who might be in receipt of a qualifying payment. And that's where then it gets fully funded. Now, as far as I know, there's quite a waiting list for that one. You know, from talking to the SEAI people, you could be waiting up to 2 years for that one, the fully funded one. Whereas then, if you're getting the attic insulation yourself or the cavity walls insulation, you know, you just get a part payment towards that, and then you obviously have to cover the rest of it yourself.
Okay, you're flying through the questions, Kirsty, and they're coming in at a great rate as well. Caller wants to buy the house they are currently renting. He says, my landlord is planning on selling it and is offering me first refusal. I asked a bank but was told I don't qualify. Is there any other option for me, or do I just keep trying all the other banks?
Well, you could certainly consider the local authority home loan. You know, that's the county council, and they're quite the mortgage that you could get from them would be quite generous. They can borrow up to 90% of the market value of the property, and as far as I know, it's for properties. The maximum market value in the likes of Kerry would be 275,000, and as far as I know, it's just based on two refusals, so that might be an option. Then if you are, there could possibly be the option there of the tenant in situ scheme. If the landlord is planning on selling the property and you're a tenant in it, and that's where the housing agency buys the property, and then they can continue to rent it to you as the tenant. So that might be something to consider as well. So there are a couple of options there. But I mean, you don't have to keep going to lots and lots of different lenders. You know, maybe consider the local authority.
Yeah, that might be the first port of call. We're getting lots of questions for Kirsty, and we will move on. We've a few people who've lost their jobs recently, which is very sad to hear. One listener says, I've lost my job and I still have rent to pay. Is there any help I can get until I get a new job?
So that person might not be on any social housing lists. You know, they might have been paying their rent themselves. They could certainly apply for rent supplement. You know, that's from the Community Welfare Office. It's administered by the Department of Social Protection. And that would certainly still be payable for short term pay, like for short term periods, and then look, if the person can't find a job for a long while, we might encourage them to apply for social housing and maybe get HAP, which would be the longer term payment, but they should apply for rent supplement for the, in the meantime.
Now, this next one is somebody who was made redundant, and it's a little bit complicated. Okay. Well, it seems complicated to me, but maybe not to you. But look, I'll read it out anyway, Kirsty.
Yep.
This person's been made redundant. They started working in this job in 2012.
Okay.
10 years later, they reached pension age of 66, but decided to stay in full-time employment until August of last year. Then they reduced to 2 days a week, which was 16 hours. The listener says, everyone was put on a three-day week on the 19th of February last. So that's just last month. Everyone in the company was put on a three-day week. But our listener was reduced to 10 hours over 2 days. Listener goes on to say, we were told last week that we're being made redundant shortly. Am I entitled to redundancy? And if so, how many years and at what rate? My current weekly rate, is it my current weekly rate or would it be an average over my total years?
It wouldn't be an average over the total years. I think it could be over the last 12 months, but I'm, you know, I'd have to check that out. So look, if they want to, if that person wants to link in with me, I'd be interested to look into that for them.
Okay, yeah. Perfect. So call in to, or make, yeah, should, yeah, they make an appointment?
Or ring the office. I'll be given the phone number anyway, and ring and ask to speak to me, and I'll look into it for you.
Okay. Now, we have a question about child benefit, and I know there was a change to child benefit recently in terms of older,
yeah,
children who are in long-term education.
Yeah, so previously it stopped on their 18th birthday, and now, like since the last budget, they were bringing it in this year from September originally for children up to the age of 19 in full-time education, and then recently, again, they said it was going to actually be from May. So children that are still in full-time education and are under like 19 in May will be eligible for child benefit again. So that's the thing. So I think at the moment it's still if they're still in full time education. So it's I suppose it's a bit of a nuisance for people who the child might have turned 18 already. So what do they do? So I think they need to fill in a form again. But I'm not 100% certain. I don't have that information in front of me here.
Okay, well, what the person is saying is that her daughter turned 18 in February.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
So she's doing the leaving in June.
Yeah.
And she says, I understand that the benefit is going to be paid in May, so yeah. I'm wondering how many months will I get of child benefit?
Well, it'll be from May, and I suppose, like, you're doing your leave insert in June, which will be to the end of June, so that'll be May, June, you'll get. And then I think, like, you know, I mean, you might get it until the end of the school year, which would be probably when the leaving cert results come out, but I'm not 100% certain about that. You know, if you can check in with us, you know, I'll give you the definite answer.
Now, lots about housing repairs and windows and roofs and all that, Kirsty. A male caller says, can you get a grant for PVC windows to be installed in a house? The house already has PVC windows, but I want to upgrade them. And a caller goes on to say the house was built in 2007.
Right. Like, there's the housing, I suppose the grant I've been talking about is the housing adaptation grant for older people. Like, those windows wouldn't really be those old windows. I don't believe that the grants from the SEAI covered the windows. I could be wrong on that one. But the only one I know about for the windows and doors is from the council, the housing adaptation one. So, you know, like that might be something to look into.
Now, still on windows and doors, the listener, this is Anne, says, I put in for windows, not doors. And when she says I put in, I presume she means she applied for a grant for windows, not doors. And she was told she would only get aluminium windows, not PVC. She says, now, I thought that was crazy. If I got a grant to repair them, as the draft coming in is fierce, I'm in my late 70s and that's what I was told, that I'd get nothing. Sure, aluminium windows are well in the past. What can I do?
You see, the grant only covers up to a certain amount. So, you know, I think they give up to a maximum of 8,000 for the windows and doors. So I suppose what are you going to get for that? I don't know. But I mean, that might be what I'm thinking in my head, that's what would be covered under that amount, you know. You can always query it, if that was from the Kerry County Council, query it with them. But I would imagine that, you know, that's probably what was covered under that amount.
Okay, and of course, which would be dearer? Do you know, the PVC or the aluminium? I haven't a clue.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
You don't know? Yeah, well, that's fair enough, I suppose. One would be more expensive. A couple purchased a house needing major repairs, but the husband was admitted to hospital before Christmas and will be out of work for at least until the end of the year. Listener is asking, is there a grant for them? The roof is leaking, they've no heating and no insulation.
Well, that would sound like they would be able to apply for the council grant, the housing adaptation grant. They could do it for people with a disability or older people, you know, and that should cover the roof. But that would probably be the grant that I'm thinking. Or maybe they might be able to get something from the Community Welfare Office under additional needs payment. So there's a couple of options there.
Rightio, fair enough. We have a question about a stove. Caller says, I have a stove that isn't working in the house. I have oil heating. Is there any such thing as a grant for the stove?
Like, again, the housing adaptation grant from the council would cover like a stove, but then that's, if that person isn't older or isn't doesn't have a disability, they might not qualify, but they might qualify for something from the Community Welfare Officer, you know, the additional needs payment, depending on their income. So that might be something to consider.
Okay. And we have, just bear with me one second now, they're coming in thick and fast. I'm just trying to read them for you here, Kirsty. Now, this next one is from a caller who is living with someone who has a disability, wants to know, would she qualify for the living alone allowance?
Well, the living alone is for somebody who lives on their own. Does that person live with somebody?
Is living with someone who has a disability.
Yeah, but see, the living alone, you have to be living alone.
To be living alone, yeah. So that's kind of obvious. A caller has been on disability for 14 years and is wondering, will she still qualify for the pension?
Yeah, so depending on it, like, you will get a pension any which way. But if you're on disability allowance, you know, it might be that you might go on the non-contributory pension when you turn 66. But if you're on invalidity pension, you would go straight on to the contributory pension at 66. So it depends on what payment you are on. But you will get a pension. Yes, of course you will.
Listener says, for the housing grant, what age does the older person have to be?
Well, it would be pension age.
So 66 plus. Kirsty, I think we've answered all of them at this stage. And just, you want to mention as well, before we finish up, of course, you already mentioned that you're looking for volunteers, but it's no harm, given the amount of questions that we've had this month, no harm to remind people where you are and what you do.
Yeah, right. So we've got three offices in Kerry. There's Cahir Sibhín, and then we've got Killarney, and we've got Tralee. So we're open pretty much like the days of the week, and Tralee we're open 5 days a week. Killarney has their 3 days a week, and Cahir Sibhín as well has days that they're open to the public. So ring us if you need to make an appointment out of any hours that we're not open, and we'll do our best to accommodate you. The number to Tralee is 0818 077 860.
Okay, give us that again.
0818 077 860. And like that, if you're interested in volunteering, if you ring that number as well, we'd be delighted to have you on board.
Super. Kirsty, fair play. You went through some amount of questions this month and answered them all very comprehensively. And anything that Kirsty couldn't answer, you can always make an appointment, head down to one of the citizens information offices, and remember, it's a free service, it's an excellent service, and why not avail of it, and you never know what you might be entitled to. Kirsty, huge thank you to you, and we'll chat to you again very soon.